The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Michael Venom Page has done enough to win the UFC debut.
Anybody that doubted that I was supposed to be here, you can see it for yourself.
Michael Venom Page!
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous! Listen to me, we're at it!
Hopefully people are tuning in right now. I don't understand tuning in. I'm such a radio hack. There's no tuning into a podcast. You download it. What an ass I am. Yeah, thanks for checking us out on your radio dial. I'm a fucking hack, Matt.
They're kind of tuning in.
No, they're not. They're downloading and listening to it as they either take a dump or they're on the Stairmaster right now, miserable.
Yeah, I'm happy. I'm happy to be talking to Michael Venom Page because
I thought you were going to say me.
Well, I'm happy to see you. Thanks. Oh, and I'm happy because I was on the mats today. I'm happy the guys did good this weekend. Dennis Pazuka won. Chris White won. There's always that kind of, I mean, listen, we got things to talk about.
Yeah, we do.
I mean, want to dive into the fights? What do you want to do?
I got to say, the main event, really, really impressive. Ferro, I mean, again, counter-striking, not doing too much, other than really effectively counter-striking, which wasn't the most exciting fight. But Blanchfield, you could see almost like running in. Like, and again, she wasn't like, you know, like helicoptering her arms. It didn't look unprofessional. It just looked like you could tell she was up against a much better striker and used to using people's energy. They talked about how she uses people's energy as they come in, and the way to fight her is to counter strike her. That was the way to fight Anderson at times too, was not let him counter strike. And I think that would, you know, sometimes it throws people a little bit.
You know what I was... There's several things I want to talk about that co-main too. I was that one.
Yes.
You know, I picked it correctly. It threw me for a loop a little bit.
Crazy.
But, with Erin Blanchfield, the thing is, she had a few well-timed clinches and takedown attempts, but you got to give it to Thoreau, where she's very, very athletic and powerful.
She's great.
So I feel that, you know, one being 34 years of age, Ferro, she's got that real woman strength. And Erin, who's 24, who's, you know, she's yet to reach her prime. I think she concentrates on some of those, you know, the takedowns, both up against the cage and the wrestling in general, because, you know, she wasn't able to get it to where she needed it. And if she got one takedown, it could make everything just go change the course of everything.
Yeah. Yeah. You know?
So, she didn't get it to her world, yet she went through, you know, five rounds pretty much unscathed. She got touched up a little bit, but she's not walking out of here all beaten and battered.
No, not at all.
So she's very durable. She was persistent. She came up short, but she's a tough, you know, she's a young fighter. So I expect to see, I want to see what's next for her, how she's going to bounce back. And then there's no doubt that Ferro should be up for a title fight.
Yeah, I agree. She looked good. And again, you know, she's 10 years older than Blanchfield, and we do have our guest in the waiting room. That could just be a little bit of inexperience, like not knowing how to, when a high level opponent like that throws something at you, like not moving forward, what to do. But she's still, she didn't look great in the fight, but you're right, she didn't get beat up, and you know, she was competitive.
MVP,
and aggressive.
MVP. MVP. Oh, yeah. Oh my God. There he is. I feel like I channeled him in. Like it's like a seance. Hey, man. Nice Hello. To meet you, Michael.
Nice to meet you guys. Nice to meet you.
How are you?
Hey.
Good.
We're great. Wait, did you say that, Jimmy, or did he ask you?
I said, how are you?
And he
said,
all right, too.
How are you, hey, too, Matt? All right.
Listen, man, I'll tell you, I've seen highlights of you before because you've been fighting for a while. You know, I think people are fucking crazy. I thought you were fighting the UFC. Your debut fight was, you might be a tough critic on yourself, but I thought it was awesome. I thought you did great.
You, oh, thank you
Kevin
so much.
Holland, what Kevin Holland does to everybody. You got him flustered as far as, you know, you got him. You did to him what he does to other people. I loved your style, which we haven't seen since, I'm excited you're in the UFC. I'm all over the place.
Thank you.
How are you, Mike?
I'm doing good. I think the time difference is getting me a little bit because I've been away for a while. So just back in the UK. Back in
it's about 8 o'clock there now, about 8 p.m.?
It's seven o'clock over here. I think I'm still on Miami time.
When did you come back?
Only two days ago.
Oh, so you hung in Miami for a little while.
Yeah, we was there for a while. Because I got family there, so, you know, I was chilling out with the family.
So, Michael, I was surprised when I heard that some people were giving you, you know, a hard time on you. Oh, man, I wasn't impressed, or I thought that his debut would be better, or they were less impressed than me. I was surprised to hear it. I thought everybody would be as happy as I was with your performance. What did you think about your debut fight in the UFC?
Yeah, like, you know, as you said, I tend to be a lot more critical of myself. And I think at the time, like immediately after, I wasn't happy with myself, like immediately after. And I think it's just because I wanted the KO and I knew I could have done more during the fight. And then when I watched the fight back and, you know, even my speaking to my coaches backstage, they're like, do you not realize what you just did? And then, you know, taking a lot more time. And yeah, definitely impressed. Kevin Holland is a top competitor, tough guy. And, you know, I made that definitely a lot easier than most would.
Kevin is a very he's dangerous everywhere. And I don't think people realize how hard it is to make someone miss. Like the way you make people miss and your movement, you make it look easy. You make it look almost effortless. And I'm watching you, just the amount of bouncing around you're doing. I'm always fascinated by guys who can lower their hands, like the guys like Bobby Green, Wonder Boy. And you do it so beautifully. And I wonder if that like lures people in a little bit. Do you do that to lure people in, or what is your motivation for that?
So it comes from a style, freestyle kickboxing. It's like a point scoring style, very similar to Taekwondo, but not Taekwondo. We definitely, you know, we punch a lot more than the guys in the Taekwondo, but I call it point scoring. It's hands down martial arts, technically. And it comes from there. So me and Wonder Boy come from a very similar place. And we used to compete in the same kind of competitions and stuff, which is why we look so similar. So yeah, it comes from there. And all I've done is just kind of added my own personality. I've been doing that for literally since I was 5 years old. I've been competing in that style. So that's all I know. And it's just, fighting like that allows, it just seems to, you know, bring out a certain response in people. So it's not something that I created myself. But, you know, I've definitely kind of almost perfected it. And it does frustrate people. It does allow people, makes it hard for people to land shots. It does so much.
Why don't we see more, I don't want to say point karate, like point kickboxing, like your that type of style transition over those into MMA and the UFC and stuff like that. Like guys like, I know guys like yourself and Wonder Boy make it look easy, and somebody else in there puts their hands down, goes and pounces it up and down. It might not work out well, but it's got to be a lot of guys on that circuit that do well in that karate. I'm surprised they don't train. Why do you think they haven't made that transition?
I think, honestly speaking, I think it's nobody's really kind of set laid out the foundations, the example, or of how to kind of, you know, I'm one of the one of the first, like, or Wonderboy Thompson, and I'm after him. Likes of Raymond Daniels as well. He tried that as well, but very few people have attempted. And even honestly speaking, when I was doing the points kickboxing, it was very far fetched for everyone, all of us. Some top competitors, but a lot of us were like, we would never do, like, you know, the full contact stuff over there. I think we kind of underestimated our own abilities. And so, like I said, and nobody really crossed over successfully that we had seen in that time. So I'm sure after myself, you're going to start to see so much more people, you know, crossing over. There's another youngster called Connor Hughes. He's in PFL at the moment, and he's adapted it slightly more to make, so it's not as obviously that comes from points, but some of the moves that he'll throw, you'll be like, oh, okay, I can see it now. But yeah, we're starting to see more and more people coming through.
I think the key too is that you said you've been doing it since you were five. And I think there's a difference when somebody is brought up doing that, where that just becomes the way your body is used to throwing punches and used to defending things, as opposed to someone who does it because they think it's stylistic or they have a psychological reason for it. And in MMA, have you noticed, has it assisted you at all with preventing takedowns because your arms are already low? And has it helped you at all with stopping guys from getting in around your legs?
Well, yes and no. It's an awkward style to adjust and kind of, because you are so side on, you know, single legs are on, and the sprawl for some reason tends to feel a little bit harder to do from that position. Our hips are not aligned in the same way. So normally our hips are more straight and facing forward. So sprawling feels a lot easier, where for myself, I'd have to adjust my hips first and then drop down. And these guys shoot the speed of the, you know, that these, how fast these guys shoot towards your legs. But the difficult aspect that people find is getting a line to shoot in the first place because of the movement so much. So, you know, it's something that you have to, the swings and roundabouts, there's goods and bads in doing it, but you have to kind of get used to what, obviously it building, you know, being better at wrestling and stuff is going to be the most helpful, but you just got to understand the style well enough.
So you grew up with it. Now your parents, they both trained and competed, or?
Yeah. Both my mom used to compete and then to be obviously when I was born, essentially my mom had to kind of slow down a lot more. So, and then she kind of whittled and kind of focused on just raising me, shall I say. Whereas my dad was able to kind of continue, and he got into it to the point where he opened his school, was teaching, and we were just going up and down around the world, just competing all over.
So your whole life has been kind of, you were the kid in school too. Like, I mean, I'm sure everybody knew, we all have reputations. So I'm sure you were the kid who's been fighting at a young age. So nobody probably bothered you growing up. You were probably that kid that everybody knew, don't fuck with this guy.
No, weirdly enough, I didn't really tell people that I did it. So a lot of people found out late, there were certain days that I'd have to miss school because I was traveling. And I just never cared to tell anybody. I think my earliest interactions, like very early when I told somebody that I did kickboxing, like you had kids that come to you like, oh, what would you do if I did this? And they'd like, they'd hit you in the head and do this. And you're like, it got annoying quickly. And I realized it was annoying telling people. So I just stopped telling people. And I was at a young age. And then it's only later on, but I was always very confident, always like, I was kind of like the joker in the class. So I had so many friends anyway. That's the way I was kind of found my way out of trouble. I was cool with everybody. And then later on when people found out, they were like, oh damn, like you've been doing this all this time. So yeah, it wasn't even something I kind of used, but definitely the confidence that I gained from training, you know, I felt so comfortable in social situations.
Your nerves look like, man, you got your nerves under control. There's no, they talk about the UFC jitters the first time. I mean, how long do you practice those routines, those walkouts? Like, when do you come up with those? Now, do you think, hey, man, this would be cool, or this would be, how do you come up with that? Or do you have somebody choreographing that shit for you?
No, you know what? I've always been a creative mind. Like, I can't, my mind will not turn off. So no matter what it is, I always like to be the standout. I don't want to do the same thing as everybody else. I'm like, oh, so how can I make this a more unique, more, you know, separate to everybody else? So I've always, my mind's constantly going like that. And then my family, big asset to me as well, in terms of we'll sit down and we're all jokesters. So we'll crack jokes on each other. Like, oh yeah, this, that. Oh yeah, what about this? What about that? So they are a big help to like what helps inspire me to think of different walkouts. But yeah, for me, I just try to, I let it come to me. I don't try to overstress myself. I need to think of something specific. Like, I know something will land and I'll be inspired by something. And then I just kind of run with whatever I feel is good at the time.
And there's now you have nine, is there 10 of you or is there nine of you?
So there's 10 siblings, right? Cause my mom adopted three children later as well. There's seven of us that are like my core siblings.
And
it wasn't enough. She wanted to adopt a few more. She was on an empty nest.
No, to be fair, we all have different mothers.
That's great, so, man. That's super mom over there. That's great. Yeah.
And you also, the reason I'm asking is because you have four kickboxing, which is phenomenal. I mean, four kickboxing champions, your parents both fight. The people that are not kickboxing champions, do all of them at least train, or are there some of them that want nothing to do with it?
Yeah, that is, for some reason, that's just kind of, I think because, you know, it's been in and around our family for so long. It's just the thing that everybody does.
Okay.
It's for those that didn't want to kind of get into it, as you say, it's just like, oh, it's a thing that one is, you know, keeps you in shape, but two draws the family together. It's something that is always anchored to family. So, you know, yeah, it's definitely something that we love to do together. I think, you know, when people have a common something that draws them together and have fun doing it, it really does help that bond. So yeah, it's just everybody, even the next generation down, all the kids, every single one of them do it. They're competing at the moment. It's amazing.
Yeah, so even somebody who didn't want to like pursue it and take it somewhere, they have a regular 9-to-5 job, it's something they still like to do.
Yeah, exactly.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Let us know and the audience know what some hobbies you like. It looks like you could freaking dance. What do you like to do when you're not fighting? You give me like, is there some books you're reading or listening to, movies, something you're streaming? Talk to us, Michael Venom Page.
So yeah, I'm like I said, extremely. I'm a very creative mind, and I think more later on is trying to be a lot more entrepreneurial, but. Like I said, because my mind just doesn't switch off, I'm always trying to, I always come up with different ideas. But at the moment, I'm working on a comic. I'm also, because I'm massive into animes and stuff. I love anime and just animations in general. So I'm working on a comic. And then later on, it actually came from an idea that I had for a TV show. So we're also developing the actual TV show as well. I've invested in restaurants, so I've got restaurants.
Let me ask you about that. Not to stop you for a second, let me ask you about that anime. Mm-hmm. Did you watch One Piece, the live action? What do you think? I watched a few episodes. I think it's pretty cool so far.
Yeah, you know, again, they kept very close to the actual animation itself. And I like it when they don't try to do too much and it kind of just ruins everything. They've kind of, it's basically the same, and they've, you know, they casted it really well. So yeah, it's a fun watch. It's a fun watch.
I got to recommend an anime for you. Now this might be one of my, this is a great one. Cause I'm not really into a lot of them. They got to get me with the story. I'm more of a superhero guy. Jimmy, don't make fun of me. He's like, you nerds. What's it called? It was on Netflix. It was called Super Crooks. Did you ever hear about that?
Super Crooks. I have heard of it. I don't think I've watched it yet.
I recommend it. It's pretty cool. It's almost it's like a, what do you call those? Those bank job ones. Like a
heist.
But with supervillains. Oh, okay. Cool, man. I enjoyed that a lot. Another one I enjoyed a lot was the Flashpoint Paradox, which was a DC animated movie. So good. If you had one anime, say, to get somebody into it that you don't know if they'd be into it or not, and you want to give show them that you love an anime, what would be an anime, either movies or series, that you would recommend?
For those that like are not into it, because I know some people that they can't get over the fact that it's animated, and when they're doing it, I'd have to give them a storyline that is just captivating. And one storyline that is just, for me, is just a great storyline it's called Death Note.
That's the one. I'm so dumb. I remembered it as the Notebook. Death Note. I didn't see Death that, Note. But that's the one I've heard. Is it on? Yeah. I know the movie they said wasn't as good.
The movie's not. Yeah, I would never suggest to watch the movie, but the animation. Yeah,
is Death amazing. Note. Is that on Netflix?
No, I think you'd have to. I'm not sure where it'd actually be at the moment. To be fair, that's but a, it'd be I, easy. It'd be easy to find.
Everyone recommends that. So, how many episodes? Is it like 10 episodes or?
There's two seasons. Okay. And I can't remember because it came up a long time. It came out a long time ago, and I watched it when it first came out. So I'm not sure, but it's two seasons. It's just a great storyline. Like it's like a cat and mouse type, cop and robber type storyline. But it's really, really good.
So you're about the anime. I'm sorry, Jimmy.
That's good.
In particular, because my brother-in-law loves it. One of my fighters, young Marcus, loves it. He does a little flip before he fights. He does a little. I mean, is it the leveling up? Or I don't know. What is it? I know what I love about like comic books and stuff like that. But what is it about the anime that just.
For me, some of the best storylines are almost direct copies of a lot of what these animations that have been out for years. So when I see in certain movies, I'm like, I'm sure they've been inspired by this. I'm sure they've been so, because I love a good storyline. Don't get me wrong; it's not just about the stuff that they can do and the colors and so on and so forth.
Yeah,
a good storyline keeps me captivated, and when it's a good storyline, as well as people can just do that bit more because it's animated. You know, when you get into the world. There's like another one that I really, really liked. It's called Samurai Champloo. Yeah, it's a unique one because it's got two samurais that kind of hated each other, but they have to work together because they come up with a common goal. But one samurai is a very traditional, Japanese culture. Samurais, very traditional. They do things a specific way. And then the other one is kind of like me. I'll do everything not in the most stupid way, but make it work. You know what I mean? And they hate each other because of it.
It's like a cop buddy movie almost, right? A cop buddy movie. That's kind of what that reminds me of, but they're with samurais. Yeah.
But again, just the storylines, they're just great storylines. And for me, that's the most captivating thing for me. And I find they're more creative than some of the films that you see nowadays.
Now, are you drawing this comic you're coming up with? How far into it are you? And are you actually doing the artwork? Are you an artist as well? Or is it just the story?
So to be fair, I used to draw a lot when I was younger. I just don't have the time to do it anymore. So we've outsourced and I got an artist in. We're almost finished our first draft of the first comic, first edition comic. So we're just waiting to finalize a few things, and then it needs to be colored, and then we go from there. But you'll start to see it hopefully very soon.
You don't want to give away any plot points, is it? Is it you? Are you keeping the streets of London safe? What's going on?
I can't give away too much because of the series that I are also developing. It's basically based on the series, and I can't talk about the series just yet. And we really are pushing. So we're speaking to some big hitters in the film industry to, you know, in hope to get it funded and developed.
So you have a whole like interest, like a lot of fighters as they go on in their careers, they don't know what they're going to do. Not that you're not, you look like you're still in great shape and healthy, but you know, eventually people stop fighting. So you seem like, you know, kind of what areas of your life you want to continue in. And this is a great one. I mean, so you're actually doing it now while you're fighting it. You're not going to get hurt doing it. What a great, life to have would be this.
Yeah, exactly that. And to be fair, I'd like to try as much as possible. Obviously, we're all human, to learn from other people's mistakes. So one thing that I see over and over again is fighters never know when to stop, because we're so obsessed. It is an absolute addictive thing to do. Once you're, you know, good at something, that feeling of walking into an arena, the people cheering your name, and you know, it's such an addictive thing. But you need to learn when to stop. I need to understand when to stop. And in order to, you know, to set yourself up for that, you need to have another passion or something that you can then immediately take up afterwards. And this is definitely going to be that world is going to be that for me. I do want to get into acting myself, but I have started to find a love for creating stories as well. So it's definitely me setting myself up for the future.
Most people don't take the amazing, like, walk-off knockout, like Robbie Lawler had an amazing last fight against Nico Price. That's very rare, because when a guy does that, they're like, well, I got to have one more in me. I didn't take any damage.
It's just difficult for, like I said, it's hard to explain if you haven't experienced it yourself, but it's such a weird feeling to just be, like I said, just walking out into a crowd. For me, I could do that. I could do that every single day if I could. It's an unbelievable feeling, that energy. And I actually get why even like white collar boxing shows took off, and why, you know, you see more YouTubers and so on and so forth kind of getting into that realm, because it is such a drug to kind of keep doing. And I get why people kind of fall in love with wanting to do it more.
Well, I'll tell you, MVP, I'm looking at you right here, welterweight, bopping up and down. You are 6'3". I'm 5'6". I won the title at welterweight. I'm glad I walked off. I'm done with this shit. Thank God. You guys are huge now, and you're bouncy, and long. Jimmy, I'm never going back. But I'm telling you, you gotta, isn't it funny, the evolution? I mean, look at the size of the welterweights now and everything.
Yeah.
I mean, I was short at the top too. I'm just saying. Guys,
no, but you know what? It's down to, like, you know, like you say, it's evolution. It's down to guys like yourself that set the foundation that we can then follow, and then we can kind of adapt and adjust. And obviously the science of it with regards to cutting weight has changed. And you know, there's so many different aspects of it since you were fighting that I just think it's just different. And then people have to accommodate and adjust. If I could just walk in at the weight I fight at and then fight, I'd do that. But you just couldn't anymore. You know, I'd be fighting giants. So, so you know, it's down to you guys that kind of to set the, you know, the first people to build the Eiffel Tower. You know, it probably took them ages, but now they can probably build five of them, you know, in a weekend.
Yeah. Was there any difference for you walking out in the UFC again? You a seasoned fighter, everybody knows you, like, but did you feel any different, and what was it?
I think the main difference was what was all happening before the fight. It was just, you could just tell it was more organized, it was more structured, it was bigger. It was like there's even this, like, just talking to certain media outlets. It's like certain people that I've spoken to, you know, many a times when I was doing the Bellator fights. But when this time I was speaking to the same people, and then they were like, oh no, but we've got Indonesia you need to speak to. We've got Australia you need to speak to. We've got New Zealand you need to speak to. We've got Japan that you need to speak to. I was like, I didn't even know any of these people were watching MMA. Yeah. But you see the different level, the different
the magnitude of it. Yeah,
the magnitude of, you know, what UFC brings to the table. And I think that's what I think can overwhelm people. I was comfortable with it, but that's where I was like, oh, this is different now. I'm in a different league now.
Yeah. And what do you think of the rest of the division? I mean, obviously, you know, it was your first fight against a really impressive, again, you looked fast and agile against Kevin. And I think people who criticized it forget that you weren't up against a typical striker. I mean, that guy moves better than most people move. Mm-hmm. And he's more versatile than most people are. And you still looked a lot faster and a lot more, you know, harder to catch, harder to hit. What do you think of the rest of the division? Luke just lost a fight in a very
shocking way.
I mean, just to pull guard, and then what do you think happened? One of those shots was harder than he expected, or you think you heard something going down?
I haven't a clue, and it was weird. It was a very weird fight for me to watch. Obviously, you know, now I have to kind of pay attention to people in the division and what's going on. Luke was definitely an interesting fight because, you know, he's, you know, I think it would be stylistically a great fight. And then watching what was happening, he just, I don't know if Buckley just possesses like a more power from like experience it against it than when you look at it. But it was a weird fight. He looked very, very good. I have to say his boxing seems to have improved drastically. Like he was getting hit with a shot and then just firing back 4 and 5 shots. Not necessarily everything was landing, but it just looked clean. It was looking, yeah, he was in shape. But then, yeah, when I saw I'm not sure. And even afterwards, you know, the ground and pound was fine, but nothing crazy seemed to have landed. And then Luque just jumps back up afterwards, like, oh, okay. Like, seemed to be content with the result. I was just like, it was a very weird fight. But obviously, happy for Buckley. Like, you know, he did really well.
Yeah.
It was strange. And Buckley at 170, again, he's used to fighting bigger guys. He was at 185.
Exactly.
He wasn't big. He was great at 170.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you pull guard like that, he got the half guard. I'm like, ooh, let's see if he's got an aggressive, you know, this half guard sweeps. There's ways to get back up first. But it was then once he went to the defensive mode, I'm like, what is happening?
What's going on? Yeah.
I was shocked too, because I didn't see one that really got through to make him get stunned.
Yeah.
So it was almost, I think, and the second was over, he was almost like, my bad. I don't know I don't think he knew what the fuck happened.
Do you think he got hurt, exactly. Matt? Do you think he got hit harder during one of them, or do you think he hurt something going down?
I saw when he got, and I saw the way he pulled guard. I know he has some jujitsu, but it was totally defensive from the get-go. He was in half guard. It was a second. I'm like, all right, his outside leg's going to pull
something. Yeah.
His reversals from there.
Yeah.
But he stayed, and then he went to like a half a knee shield.
Yeah.
This is not good. I go, what is happening? I was pretty shocked. I was as confused as everyone there. And even Luke, he looked so I don't know. We'd have to ask him, you know?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to kind of hearing something. So, like hearing him, you know, talk about it or say something to kind of, like, because it just felt like it didn't look like him. I don't know what was going on there.
Yeah, because he looked, Buckley looked really good. But Luque didn't seem that hurt. He got tagged a few times, but he didn't seem like he was out of the fight at all. I mean, he seemed very, very capable of continuing. And what do you think would be your path to getting a shot at Leon Edwards? I mean, again, I know it's one fight in, but you still have to probably look ahead and go, all right, well, what do you think the path to that is?
You know what? I think I've got so much confidence in myself, but it definitely makes a difference when you've actually had your UFC fight. So me in my head knowing what I know I can do is different to doing it. So now that I've done, you know, had my fight and it's gone the way it's gone, I'm looking across like, yeah, I don't need to do too much to beat everybody. Like, there's not too much I need to adjust now. And there's a few things I need to adjust, but there's not too much I need to adjust to be on the top of this pile. So, in all honesty, I don't care what direction we go in. I'm just like, just give me another fight. I'm ready. I'm healthy. I'm fit. I'm back training. Just give me another fight. If, you know, Manchester, I want to beat someone again and then jump in again and go, if I can go again in September, I'll do it straight after. Like, I just want just to be active now.
Yeah, you just want now that it's gone well and you got whatever you thought it was before it walked in, you know how close you were. Was it what you thought when before you got there? what was your impression of what it would be like compared to what it was like?
To be fair, I do think it would be quite overwhelming. I think there'll be a lot of pressure and just tense. And obviously, I know there's a lot of guys that have worked together for a long time. So almost maybe could have been clicky as well. And just kind of have to, you know, people are going to have to, you know, kind of get used to you or whatever. But everybody, people were talking to me like I've been there for years. Okay. It was the team there was, I have to say, there's people there are just beautiful. The team, they've been working together so long. They're so welcoming. I just felt like I was at home. I just felt comfortable. And I think that definitely helped with, you know, how everything went.
I think too, guys like yourself or Michael Chandler who comes in, you guys are already, or Gaethje when he came in, you guys are already seasoned, very, very good fighters, and you're a new face for the UFC fans. So there's like the two thing, like a lot of newer faces have to work their way up through the early prelims and then through the prelims and they win. But you guys are going right into, you know, the main card and you're showcasing how good you are. So I think that's the advantage to being such a seasoned and solid veteran from another promotion and coming in, as the fans immediately like you.
Yeah. I think, yeah, definitely. It's, and like, you know, seeing the likes of Michael Chandler made definitely makes it more like, okay, yeah, you can do this. It definitely inspires. So, yeah, just the whole thing just has just felt great.
Well, Michael, look, oh, go ahead, Matt. Sorry.
No, I'm just thinking of the different matchups.
Yes.
What about, like, is Matt Brown? Matt, what about Matt Brown? No? Remember him?
Yeah.
No, what about him with those elbows from hell? Why you look like Jimmy? What, you don't like that fight?
No. I'm not.
Why'd you go?
Because I'm thinking of who would I want to see Michael fight. Is that what you're saying? Who I want to see Michael fight?
What do you think about Matt Brown, I'm thinking about. Yeah, man.
Wonder Boy. I'd like to see Wonder Boy. I imagine that you want to move further up in the ranking. Like, I'm guessing that you want to move up higher.
I'm not even thinking of rankings. I just think of exciting.
As a fan, I'm thinking of what would he want his rankings. I mean, Colby, again, he's the name that people throw around too, just because, again, he is such a polarizing figure. Is there anybody you have your eye on that you're like, yeah, this is who I think I want next? I know you'll take anybody they give you, but is there one who you think would be like, that's the guy I want to fight?
It's weird. There's nobody that like excites me. And it's weird. And even when you said, a lot of people have obviously mentioned Wonderboy's name. And I always say the same thing is, sometimes two positives don't produce a positive. And because we're such similar styles, the cat and mouse, like trying to set traps and stuff, would be a boring fight for people that don't understand what they're watching.
Yes. Matt, maybe you might. I think it was Anderson fought somebody that everybody thought like, oh shit, this is, and it just turned out to be a boring fight because they were both doing this. Sometimes when two guys were against Damian Maya, people like, you know, what's going to happen on the ground? And it turned out to not be exciting fight. So I think you're right. Two guys that two positives might cancel each other out, as opposed to being an explosion.
Yeah, definitely. So there, but at the same time, there's loads of exciting fights in the division, which is great. Like, it doesn't really matter what. There's landmines everywhere around me, and I'm in for an explosive time, but I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, a lot of a fight like you and Wonderboy could be, all right, let's just see who goes first, as opposed to two guys, like you said, setting traps, and it could just be two guys all of a sudden at the middle of the second round, and you're both waiting to implement your game plan because the other guy's doing the same thing.
Exactly that.
And that's why I threw in a name like Matt Brown. He's like a Berka Marauder. That's what I like to make it like a comic book fight.
How about Ngannou? If you start throwing out names. Well, look, Michael, congrats on an amazing appearance against a guy who we love and who's a great, great fighter. And you look tremendous. So welcome to the UFC, man. We're really happy for you. And we can't wait to watch you fight again. Whoever it is in the division is going to be exciting. So hopefully it'll be soon.
Yeah, no, thank you guys for having me on. It's great. It's great to be interested, like meet you guys, Jim and Matt. So it's, you know, I'm just kind of loving this journey, and you guys all make it, this journey, you know, more and more enjoyable.
Well, you're a great fighter, man, and we're happy that you're here.
Very happy. Man. I'm super, super excited to hear about your next fight, whoever it's going to be. And when you come up, when they a movie buys your script or you come up with that comic book concept and it's out in the open, that reason alone, come back on and hang out with us.
You yes, I mean? Definitely. 100%.
Let's let the world know. Let's geek out together.
Yeah.
And I'm going to watch Death Note. You're like the third fighter to mention it, so I'm going to watch Death Note.
You have to. Yeah, let me know as well.
Thank you, Michael. Michael Venom Page, thank you so much, buddy. Good talking to you.
No problem. Take care, guys.
All right, have a good one.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
That was fun. I knew I'd like him.
Yeah, he's great.
I like the English guys, mate.
They're all nice guys, yeah. Unless they're hitting you. They're all nice guys unless they're fucking throwing a kick or a punch.
I thought you were going to say, listen, next time, keep your hands up. I was going to say, Jimmy, don't.
No. I am interested in guys who fight like that. Because I know it has – here's how you know there's an effect on other fighters. Do you ever see two guys going at it, and then all of a sudden one guy puts his hands down, and he's like, come on, like trying to get engaged – very rarely will the other fighter engage. I mean, Weidman did against fucking Anderson. But a lot of times that psychology works on people. But again, when you're doing it since you're a kid, it's just the way you fight.
We talked about, yes, it's true. But listen, speaking of Weidman.
Yes.
We talked about the Vicente Luque fight with Buckley. Congrats to Buckley.
Yes.
Buckley looked amazing. Vicente, I don't know. We'd have to really ask him what he was thinking.
I would love to. I'm curious, right?
Yes. The Chris Weidman thing, I heard he's getting a lot of slack online about the eye pokes. They do happen. They happen.
Yes, they do.
And he was winning the fight, so they went to the scorecards, and he won. I mean, you know, sometimes, hey, I don't want to be a potty mouth on here, and I know because, you know, this happens.
Ooh, better. Much better.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Last thing you want to be is a big A-H and curse all over this thing.
I liked Kyle Nelson getting all loud with the audience. That's right, Atlantic City. What? He didn't get that guy. That he looks like a Viking. It is like, all right. We're not the Atlantic City. He took a step back. I like that. I like it. Kyle, you let him know. Kyle don't give a fuck where he is.
Yeah.
I like that. Kyle's no nonsense. And I, you know, Bill Algeo, he's a tough guy. He's weathered some storms before. Yeah. I wish they would have let it go a little bit longer. He was a little bit on wobbly legs, but that doesn't mean that he was done. So, you know, I have to, but you can't, but Kyle did his job. So,
yeah. And sometimes whatever the refs see, once in a while, they'll stop something and you're like, oh, he didn't look that hurt, but maybe it's X amount of punches in a row or whatever it is that causes them to stop something. But once in a while, they'll make a decision. I'm like, all right, well, maybe they just saw something I didn't notice.
Jimmy.
Yes, sir.
I am a mighty little man.
By the way,
that's from Young Sheldon.
You are up because you took Buckley, and I want to say you took him by second round stoppage, if I'm correct. You got 6.5 points, which makes me physically ill, getting my dick kicked in all over this dumb competition. 34 points to 56.5 points.
12 wins, 9 losses. You got 7 wins, 14 losses.
Yes, I do. It's not good.
Not even a journeyman, bro. You're like a fucking lemon.
I really am. I'm having we're only in April.
I know. But whenever I think about that, I just look at the picture they used for my thing there. I don't like this picture.
Why? It's a great picture.
My head looks huge.
Yeah.
You ever watch Young Sheldon?
I have not, no.
It's not a, it reminds you of like almost an 80s show. It's kind of like not bad. But the move, the show it's based on, like the, what's the other one? Big Bang Theory, with that, it's based on a guy from that, I think.
I don't know. I've never watched that.
That's not funny. That's not a funny one. But
no.
Young Sheldon's not bad. It's not that it's funny, but it's like, you know, it's like you can have that on in the background. You're not going
to. Right, right, right.
All right.
Yeah, I've never seen it. I don't know any of the characters.
Jamie, I'm going to Texas tomorrow.
I know. What are you doing, Joe? Wednesday?
Yes.
Well, have fun, buddy. Have a great time. You're hilarious on that show.
I like to have a good time.
I know you do. You're always funny.
What else, man? What else you want to talk about?
I mean,
Nate Landwehr. Took out
Jamal. First round. Jamal Emmers. Yeah.
Wow. You
know? Yeah.
I said Bazooka got his W in there. Good for him. You know what I mean?
Yep. And got a nice bonus, too.
Got a nice bonus.
I love the new system, by the way, of them putting in the little money bag next to it so we can just scroll quickly through it and see who got bonus fight of the night, all that. It's so good.
It is easy to do.
Whoever came up with that on the back end, I'm giving you 2 points. That when I point with my double fingers, that means great idea.
I like that, Jimmy. It's like the next generation coming up. I remember when Bazooka came over.
Yeah.
The team and fucking Raging Al deserves a lot of credit because he brought him under his wing.
Yes.
At one point, he even met him at his house. He had like a fight at his house. And that's in Raging Al's prime. And he was
taking his time to help guys.
This young kid.
Yeah.
Basically, was his big brother. So I like it, man. I like that whole circle of life thing. And now look at Raging Al.
Slaying,
fucking selling houses, got his own real estate firm. It's great. All right, Jimmy, what else, man? I like when people, I like just positivity. Yeah. And how are you, Jimmy? Things are good with you?
Things are very good. There's a new podcast episode. My wife and I, we have the hilarious Zach Amico was on. And we have more videos coming out. And things are very good. So I'm very happy. I got a bunch of gigs if you want to see me. Go to my site. But yeah, life is good, Matt. I have no complaints. I'm happy. I'm having fun doing these dumb videos with my wife. They make me happy.
Well, I believe you're going to be on with who's the guest co-host on Wednesday?
I don't
Don
know.
Don Morgan!
Oh, have they confirmed that? I didn't know if they confirmed it. I know that they mentioned him, but I didn't know if he was confirmed. Great.
Don Morgan. I love
Don Morgan's awesome.
He knows this sport in and out.
He does. Which is great because all I got to do is go, John, what do you think? And then when he says something really smart, which he will, I'll go, fuck, that's where I was going to go with it.
No,
I'm an idiot.
Sometimes you go, Matt, what do you think? I'm like, Rebel Moon, comic book, Star Wars, game, video games. And you're like, oh, God, he's a moron.
Yep.
No, you don't say that. Jimmy, I love you, man. I'll see you next
when you
week.
Get down there, tell Dana I said hello.
That's fucked up, isn't it? Do you see that interview?
Yes.
Come on, man. You know that happens to me all the time, like fight week. They're like, oh, thank you, Joe, or thank you, Dana. But he was doing an interview, a podcast, right? And the girl goes, what does Joe Rogan think of something around?
Do you think she just said the name wrong, though? Like, she knows it's Dana, head of the UFC, but just had a panic moment and fucked it up? Or did she really think she was talking to Joe?
He goes, what does Joe Rogan think? And then she goes, Dana White. I don't know, maybe. Dude.
I think she just panicked. I've done stuff like that where you lose your way for a moment and you just have you blank. Maybe she was nervous because it was Dana. I mean, he is Dana White. It happens. I've had that people happen to me. I'll be getting interviewed and they'll say like, do you think, are you and Angelina Jolie almost finished your divorce? And I'll be like, wrong guy.
I was just waiting to see what name. I was waiting to see who you choose. But
nuts.
You chose widely. All right, listen to me. Jimmy, you're such a comedian. Why are you a comedian? I'm so happy you're so funny.
Thank you, Matt.
I want to see you soon. And when I get back and I get settled.
I would love it. Yeah, come. I really am dying to have to do our session together. I can't wait, man.
He's in the city. Maybe I'll take my one kid with me.
Would love it.
All right, Jimmy, tell everybody. I meant like the guys over at the school. Mike J was out in Vegas, wasn't he? Or no?
He was. I didn't train today because I'm doing Gutfeld tonight, so I came home from work and started writing. I have to write jokes. But Mike, I think, is on a plane today anyway, and I'll see him Wednesday.
Well, then I will talk to you shortly, Jimmy, all right? Enjoy the rest of your day.
Safe trip.
Thank you so much. Goodbye, everyone. Goodbye.
Goodbye. See you, pal.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.